What's up, everyone? I'm Tori.
And I'm Anissa.
And this is MTV's official challenge podcast, where we go behind the scenes of the challenge, Spies, Lies, and Allies.
On this week's episode, we are going to dive into a game-ending argument, a risky move by a rookie, and a shocking new alliance.
And it just wouldn't be right if we didn't talk to the man that I think everyone has a ton of questions for. So Fessy Shafat is coming on later, and I can't wait to get his side of the story, and I hope he doesn't want to kill me.
It's all right. You already feel like death, so I guess that works out well in your favor. I can't wait to hear what Fessy has to say, so we should probably get this thing started.
Let's go. So,
Tori, it's crazy. I know that you're hungover, but that is not my fault. Yeah. However, Pizzagate is your fault.
Yeah.
So you're going to have to do the time bomb today. It's 37 seconds of you trying to do this without throwing up.
Yeah, I'm going to throw up.
It's 37 second recap.
It's just going to be 37 seconds of me puking, actually. But here, let's do it.
All right, Tori, are you as ready as a hungover person can be?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm going to give this to you gently in 3, 2, 1, go.
Bada boom, bada bing. We pick up right where we left off. That's right. Fessy and Josh are still arguing. It's getting worse and worse by the second. The drink gets flown flying in the face. What is a face? We don't know. We're still trying to figure it out as the game continues. Amanda is defending Fessy, though. That's where we really start to see the love spark up. I think that there's something in the air, or maybe it's in her hair. Maybe it's his hands rubbing through her hair. It's getting awkward. I'm going to continue to move forward. TJ comes into the house now, and he's like, what's going on over here? If I'm coming, it's probably not a good thing. Uh-oh, parents came home from work early. House party over. Unfortunately, Fessy has to go home. I'm really excited to talk to him. I hope he doesn't hate me. Then I apologize in deliberation as well as Corey, and that was pretty difficult because we obviously felt really bad. I thought I was going into elimination.
As awkward and as good as it's gonna get today, folks. I'm not gonna give the play of the day to Tori today because that was the most unathletic move.
Yeah. You tried. It hurt to even do that?
Your stomach, I know. Yeah. Tori's been going through some things. We're gonna figure it out. If we have any gastroenterologists somewhere, we need you.
Thank you.
So the play of the day, the best athletic move, I wanna say is Emmy.
Yeah.
You went and you picked Uncle CT. And to be honest, this man won the last season. He's won seasons before. He's a monster in elimination. He probably won't go in this season. Who knows? But by watching it, like, I got, when I was there, she didn't understand the game. And this girl knows what she's doing.
Emmy
knows exactly what she's doing.
She's got a good team of people behind her. You know, you see her getting really close to Devin. She gets really close to CT. Yeah. She's close to Emmanuel. Like, she has a team of people behind her. And, like, at this point in time, I was very close with Emmy, too. I think she trusted the vets a lot. She was one of the only rookies who, and you saw that in the beginning. Remember when she ran up to us and was like, oh, there's a list?
Well, yeah, we all went on our middle-aged woman walk with her. We let her come with us because she felt very alone. But I think she's starting to find out how strong she really is and how to play the game. Like, hey, if I know I'm going to keep going in, if I stick with Huey, I'm out of here. And who's the best guy here? CT. Yeah.
Dude, it was crazy too because, you know, obviously all of this happens and Emmy goes in there. She steals CT. Berna had no idea that CT was going around trying to get rid of her. Mm-hmm. And, you know, in this game, obviously Berna's really sweet, but to go out of, like, I'm working with CT at this point, and he has that conversation with me where he, like, gives me the heads up that he's trying to get a new partner. And first of all, I didn't understand what he was saying, because when CT talks in the challenge house,
especially when he's trying to be sneaky, he's like, so what I'm saying is, I'm just,
and I'm like, bro, you need to come with subtitles.
And, you know, move to that, we're fine.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's literally what it sounds like.
What?
Half the time I'm nodding.
I can understand it.
I'm like, I don't know what you said to me. I have no idea what you just said to me.
He should come with a pocket translator, like a person 100%. That pops out and says, hear ye, hear ye. This is what the fuck CT just said.
He just needs to come with subtitles. It's simple. I just need to read what the fuck you're saying. Yeah, but
it would be easier to have like a puppet pop out of his pocket than a...
pop out of his pocket. I want you to say that 3 times fast.
Puppet pocket pop out of his pocket. I can't.
Yeah.
I,
a puppet pop a puppet out of in his pocket, Anissa? Oh my God.
Right. It's more feasible than having actual subtitles follow him around.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. I guess that's difficult. Listen. But listen, let's keep going.
Dirtiest deed. Let's just be honest.
Okay. Yeah.
You and Corey and this pizza.
Yeah, I know.
And I'm not trying to make you feel bad. We're just trying to find the dirtiest deed.
I deserve to feel bad, okay? I deserve this hangover right now. I deserve to feel bad. I watched my friend go home. And I know that people think, oh, that person can't be your friend if you do something like that. Dude, friends can fuck with each other, you know? Yeah. We have this weird friend. All of us have this weird friendship. So
it's just different because we've, like I always say, it's like going on a first date and then moving in that night. That's what kind of, it's like forced friendships that then evolve over time.
Yeah.
And this, it's just a weird dysfunctional summer camp.
Yeah, 100%.
And when you're bored, you'll do anything. I mean, we can't leave this house. And obviously, you guys did seem pretty bored. Did you just get back from the club and everyone's just hanging out in there?
That's exactly what it was. We had all gotten back from the club. And I mean, you see a beer in my hand and I'm just like, I'm bored. You know? Yeah. I mean, we talked about this last episode. You know, the camera guys were like, do it. So Fessy knew what I was doing. And obviously, he didn't want me to do it. I'm not putting any blame on anybody but myself for that. But, you know, it was a joke for sure. And it...
We never know how people are going to react to things. Yeah. Like, some people can take a joke and some people can't. So...
It made
a good episode.
Yeah, but it also created a lot of fucking bullshit. So...
Yeah.
Pizza.
Pizza's the dirtiest deed.
Pizza, yeah.
Well, there's no daily challenge today on this episode.
Yeah, because they split that one up. It's a big cliffhanger, but supposedly that episode got the highest ratings of the season so far. So,
well, I'm not surprised. I mean, if you look at it, like, I know we're a competition show. I get it. I get what we've become. But we started off as a drama-based game show of your favorite personalities on MTV.
Yeah.
And the game has evolved, and I get it. We have to stay on top of it. But there's something that people love about seeing other people have drama. And it's like, I don't care if you're watching Intervention or My 600 Pound Life or you're watching Housewives or whatever reality show sparks your fancy or tickles it, rather. You watch it to kind of escape.
Yeah.
So it's like, oh, okay, well, you know, this last year's been shit. So if I watch, they're having drama on here, let me just forget about the fact that, you know, whatever's going on in my household. And I think that that's what we provide. Oh, entertainment, yes, and escape too, some comedic relief. Yeah, but this episode was like, oh, we're about to see two friends fight and we don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah, and it was nerve-wracking watching TJ roll up there. I mean, like...
Always, every
nobody
time, always.
Nobody wanted that outcome at all, you know? I mean, I think... and I felt really bad that it ended up falling down on Esther because, right, she's alone now. You saw what happened when you left. Logan went in there. Same thing happened
this
time.
That seems like that's what's going to happen every time if people keep getting kicked off and or injured.
Yeah, because...
That's what's to be assumed.
The agency only has to say one name, so...
Right.
It's in the agency's best interest to you know...
To pick that person. Yeah, and I guess it works out that way because you can get hurt at any time or you can push the wrong person and Pizzagate... All over again.
Yeah.
But watching it, I mean, I did get emotional. Like, it was a lot.
Yeah. And I think it was really beautiful that Fessy and Josh got to, like, open up and talk like that. Mm-hmm. You know, like, Fessy even saying, like, I've never won anything. Dude, Fessy's this person that you see and you're like, oh, he thinks he's the shit. You know, he's super confident.
Yeah, he's definitely won everything.
Yeah.
And I think it sticks with him, and I think it hurt. I mean, him and I have... I've talked about it, and I guess that's why people wonder how we're friends now. But, like, after our reunion, after Double Agents, like, remember when we all went out? Like, him and I had a really, really long talk. Mm-hmm. And he shared stuff with me. And I was just like, now I get it. But we put on these masks, you know, because, like, we know we're going to get it from the fans.
Yeah.
You know, we're already hard on ourselves as is.
Yeah.
And I just think it's a way to protect yourself. But he's a human being like everybody else. And I think this was the season where Fessy was going to make amends and try and undo all the wrongs that he's done. Well, the last season, and, you know, try and make things right. And good on him for trying to do that.
Let's get Fessy on the horn. Let's talk to the guy. Let's dive into that interview because I want to hear what he has to say about it. And I'm sure he's got a lot. So,
yeah,
Let's take a short break, and then guys, stick around because Fessy Shafa is about to come on the show.
All right, folks, we have now come to our favorite part of the podcast where we get to interview a lucky guest. And today we have a special guy who has become our friend and our brother. So now here we have Fessy to talk about what really went down in that kitchen. And is the pizza really that good?
Fessy, welcome. What's up? We love you, bro.
Do you love me?
I do.
On a scale of 1 to 10, how much do you hate me?
Honestly, I told people, like, because some people, after they saw the clip, they were like, you know, I thought you were cool with Tori and she's doing that. And I was like, honestly, we all fuck around and joke around in the house. Like,
yeah.
I honestly don't think she wanted to take it that far, you know, but it had been building up for a week now. I think people didn't know the time lapse of this instant, because when I threw Amber in, the very next challenge, we all know challenges are like 2 days apart. So the very next challenge was when CT and Berna won, and me and him still weren't talking. And then the next one after that was a couple days. So it had been a week when Casey and Emmanuel won. So that just opened up the floodgates, you know, Amber, because me and Amber didn't talk either. So it was just all built up. And I don't even think, you know, people knew that. And then I think Josh, just because we went out that night, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I think that was his moment to where he was like, everybody kind of felt not comfortable talking about it, but like, all right, now's the time to talk about it. So it all like erupted in that one moment.
Dude, it was crazy.
It was because, your fault.
Yeah. And you know what? Like, I mean, it was. I do feel really bad. I definitely never wanted it to get to that point. Like, you don't ever want to see somebody go
home.
But
we're not in charge of people's actions, too. So to be fair to yourself and to other people, that, like, you're a grown-ass man, Fessy, right? Josh is grown. Like, yeah, no, there's no excuse for us to do the shit we do. But, like, that could have happened at a bar at home and y'all would have squashed it and shit would have been fine the next day. Like, regular dude argument fight. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
that's the only thing that, like, obviously I blame myself. I don't blame anybody. I'm a grown ass man. I shouldn't put my hands on somebody. You know, TJ says that. But I think one thing I felt comfortable in the house with, you know, and I thought, I consider myself like a very composed individual, but obviously, you know, I put my hand on Josh, so I shouldn't have gone that far. But that's like, Josh is used to getting in these arguments and these heated things to where, you know, it always blows up. So Josh and me hang out in real life, and I know you guys hang out with Josh, and Josh isn't like that in real life.
No.
So when Josh was like that, it was kind of like my best friend or brother in real life is like getting loud with you, and you're just kind of like, yo, calm down for a second. Like, it wasn't no animosity, even though we were yelling. That's just how, when that game is very emotional in there, and me and him talk about everything in there, you know, and that's kind of how sometimes we express our emotions. We kind of erupt, and then the next day we're fine. But, you know, TJ obviously said no hands on anybody. So, I mean, obviously I take full responsibility of it. You know, it was kind of a shock to me that I was leaving by myself.
Mm-hmm.
We all were under the impression that, you know, maybe me and Josh were leaving together. So when I heard TJ say that Josh was staying, I was like, okay, maybe he's just giving us all a warning, you know. But I think the tension was so high in that game up to that point. It was kind of like, I don't want to say TJ had to make an example out of me, but it was kind of like setting the tone, like, all right, enough nonsense. Like, I told y'all, knock it off, you know. And it sucks that I had to see the, you know, my game end because of that. But, you know, I was, when you saw my face when he said that I had to leave, you know, I was kind of like, it is what it is. You know, I'm not going to sit here and have a pity party, because at the end of the day, it was my fault. I could have controlled my actions, and if I would have not done that, I would have still been there, you know?
Yeah. It was just, it's so crazy because, like, it takes a moment like that to, like, really see deep into somebody. And, like, I think this was one of the first episodes ever, Fess, where you were so vulnerable. Like,
yeah.
And I think that, like, it sucks that, you know, you have to leave the game. Like, that sucks. But at the same time, like, if you have to see the silver lining, it's like, for anybody who's ever not or thought you were just an egomaniac or thought you had no feelings, I think this is like the first time where we really get to see like there's something underneath there. Like, I mean, you were crying when I came up into the room and you and Josh and Casey and Nani were all there. Like, you were crying, you know? And like, I was like, damn, this is so real. So like, I don't know. What was it like for you to have that or open up like that?
For me, it was more because after the fight, I was more because we didn't even know who was going to get kicked off, if anybody was getting kicked off that night. You know what I mean? So when I saw how upset Josh was, that was kind of what was really like bothering me, because we weren't even thinking anybody was going to get kicked off, because, you know, we were such close friends. We just hadn't talked. So I was more concerned with his feelings and him being so upset because, you know, he was going through it. So once TJ broke that news, you know, I mean, it sucked. It sucked waiting in that hotel room, you know, by myself, knowing like I lost my shot again at, like, that's my third chance at $1 million. You know what I mean? Most people don't get one chance at $1 million. So that's how I was looking at it. And I think, you know, like you said, a lot of times I'm not shown being vulnerable. I'm not in that state. But I am, I mean, I turn 30 next month, you know what I mean? I know you guys have been doing the show for a minute, so you guys have your fair share of hardships you guys gone through, but it's kind of been like that my whole life, not with hardships, but like losing, you know what I mean? I'm used to losing, you know, you just got to learn from it and get better. So that's kind of how I took it. Like, I shouldn't have put my hands on Josh. I was thankful for the opportunity, you know, to come on the challenge for a third season in a row. Like, you know, that was a blessing. So, yeah, that was kind of how I looked at it. Like, it's on me at the end of the day. It just sucks that it had to end like that.
It did, because I think that this was a really good season for you. And as much as last season you were like, I don't really care what everybody thinks about me, I'm like, you do. You are a human.
I care what you guys think about me.
Right.
Like, my castmates.
Right. Because we're family at the end of the day. We really do care about each other. I think that this is just kudos to you, because I know last time you were on here, I gave you shit, but you deserved it. But I think your growth has just been so tremendous. So for me watching it, like, you came on during Ramadan, you were so, so disciplined in that and observing that, and then sharing with us, you know, the stuff that you were going through and why you were doing it. And, you know, that's part of your actual life that you were bringing on. And then you're performing well. You have a great partner. You're supporting her. I mean, it's just, I've seen the growth, and I thank you for showing us this side of you. Because I love this. I love this Fessy. This Fessy's my brother. Like, I'll go to bat for this Fessy.
For me, I don't want to say miscommunication, but I guess, like, when I came on my first season, I really didn't know much about the challenge besides the fact that I saw the clips of what the show was. And I was like, this seems like something I could excel in. So when I came in my first season and I had people like Bananas and Wes and CT, and I saw, you know, the way people were treating them, like, kind of like they've been there before, they've done that, like, that's the standard. I was just hell bent on proving myself my first two seasons. I wasn't worried about nobody's emotions, what people were going to think about me in this aspect. I was just worried about advancing in the game and setting the tone for how I'm going to compete on the show. And obviously, when I saw the effect it had on other people on the show after two seasons I've done, that's why I came into my third season and I was like, okay, I get it. Everybody knows I can compete now. I got that out of the way. That was my main focus. I put that above everything, to where, you know, I wasn't looking out for people's emotions and feelings. And it took me, you know, to my third season to realize, you know, it's more than just competing for $1 million. We're all there. We all put stuff aside at home to come to this foreign ass country, you know, to live in this hellhole. Because, I mean, as beautiful as the house was and as amazing as this opportunity is, it is stressful being in that house. You know, it's a cut off from the real world. And a lot of people lose their shit in there. You know what I mean? So we kind of got to help each other out in there. So I understood that. But it took me three seasons. You guys have been doing this a while and had your ups and downs.
Lots of downs, Fessy. I mean, we have showed our asses, literally and figuratively speaking. My early 20s were, I was a badass, but I was also an asshole. So we've done it. But I was surrounded by other girls that were just as, you know, like if it were you and like a group of guys, I think it's just because of you have such a big presence that people have an expectation of you to be one way. So it's when you show them something different, they're like, well, what's going on? You know, and it's great, but you have to, you know, like you, like how you did this season, you'd like ease into it and you, people will, you know, be, people will appreciate the growth and the time you've taken to learn from your mistakes. We all know you're good. You know what I'm saying? It just, you know, when everything starts to fit, it's like, okay, now that's the guy we want to root for.
Well, one thing I'm thankful for this season, like when I was leaving, the reason why I was kind of like had no emotion was I was like, if it's my time, it's my time. Like it's out of my control at this point. I shouldn't have done what I did last night. It's in TJ's hands now. I'm not going to sit there and, you know, have a pity party. I shouldn't have done what I did last night. But the thing I was grateful for walking out the door was I felt like I bonded and connected with my castmates this season, and like they got to see at least me in a different aspect, because y'all didn't really get to see that my first two seasons on Total Madness. I didn't talk to anybody on Double Agents. I was hell bent on pissing everybody off and trying to win.
Yeah.
And then, you know, third season, I was a little more chill. So I was thankful for that. Like I was like, I'm walking out early, not getting the chance at the money, obviously hurt, but I was like, at least my castmates got to know me a little better this season. So I was thankful for that.
So I just saw Josh leave you some coffee because, you know, even though you guys can't see us, I can see him. It's safe to say you guys are on good terms. How long did it take for you guys to get on good terms? Like, what's the situation with your friendship?
Yeah, you saw the clip, you know, after the fight before TJ came to the house the next morning. Me and Josh had made up. We were cool. It was just we hadn't talked for a week, and we were just being prideful and no one wanted to come talk to each other first. But, you know, the moment we got back in real life, we've hung out. I went to Miami. He's come to Orlando. It's just me and Josh talk about it all the time. And we've always been close on the show. But as close of friends as we have outside of the show, like all my friends from back home I've known and played football with who know me inside and out, they don't know the TV aspect of me. Like when I go away for months at a time, because we can try to tell them and explain it to them, but they're not going to understand. So that's something me and Josh have in common. You know, we talk about all the pressure from the show and having to pick up and go and live this crazy life. So me and him have that in common. So, you know, it's like we're brothers. It's crazy. And, you know, he gets upset sometimes because I pick on him or whatever. But, like, that's just how
it's
it
like
is.
Like your little brother.
Yeah, that's how it is in the locker room, like growing up playing football. You joke with your closest friends because you know you guys can take it, you know. But me and him are fine. He just brought me some coffee. So
I know. So what happens to the Big Brother Alliance now? Like, do you think going forward and the challenges? Because I'm hoping and sure that you'll be back. I think that hopefully this will be water under the bridge for you, because a lot of us have been in these situations. So
what I'm thinking and hoping is TJ knew it wasn't malicious, you know, obviously.
I mean, when you look back at it, I'm just like,
and, yeah, I was, you know, like even throughout the argument, I was laughing. I was sitting down. I wasn't charging him. You know, when I put my hand in his face, we were in each other's face. He was pointing his fingers at me. Like, obviously I take full responsibility. I shouldn't have done it, but you know, I think hopefully I showed enough composure. You know, and I walked away, but
I think it's honestly being there. I mean, I think we were all, after you left, we were like, we can't believe that was the final decision, just because I think it could have gone either way. And I don't know, it sucked that it had to go the way that it did.
I think it had built up all this stuff, you know, like because
this
is two seasons in a row. So it's like, they're kind of like, yo, we told you before, stop this, you know? And it's like, maybe we get so sidetracked in the show. We got so much pressure on us with, you know, the elimination, the dailies, making the final, the alliances, that, you know, it's not in the back of our mind that, damn, TJ said, don't do this.
Yeah.
And then we do it and we're like, damn, he did say, you know, not to do that anymore. And so that's why when I was walking out the door, I was like, regardless of the outcome, and we thought it could have went, you know, he could have let it slide or could have kicked me and Josh off. It's all on me. Like, that's how I looked at it, so I can't blame anybody but myself.
Yeah. I mean, the growth is crazy, you know? Like, last season, you were owning the messy, walking around with a I-don't-give-a-fuck attitude, and now it's like, even though this is a messy situation, you don't come across as the same person. Mm-hmm. Did you want to do that because people wanted you to do it, or did you honestly feel like, yo, I just want to be, I want to grow?
Well, honestly, you don't, I mean, you know, because you've been in this situation, but I guess the viewers, they only see the outcome of, you know, the season. Like, oh, didn't win the final, didn't get it done. You know what I mean? But that takes a toll on your mental, not with how the fans see you, but dude, I lost $1 million or $500,000 two seasons in a row at the last day, at the last final. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So
to come onto the challenge and get an opportunity like this, you see all the fans, oh, I want to come on the challenge. I want to come on the challenge. Like, we get to come on the challenge multiple times. So to come on two times in a row, my first two seasons, and some people never make the final, and I make two and lose, and I consider myself, you know, a physical competitor, that weighed on my mental a lot. So coming into the third season, I was like, damn, I'm blessed enough to come back for a third season in a row. Hopefully I've proven myself to my castmates to where I don't have to walk around like, you know, fucking Billy Badass anymore.
Right.
I could just chill, because at the end of the day, everybody at least knows my worth in the game as a competitor.
Yeah.
So I don't have to shove it down anybody's throat anymore.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's all I was trying to do when I came in, because you bring 30 something people from all over the world, all these different TV shows. They all have their own egos. They all have their same skill sets. So I was just overly excited to show my abilities, you know? Mm-hmm. So coming into my third season, I was like, I could chill now and just vibe out with my castmates, enjoy this nice ass weather, this mm-hmm. nice ass house. So that was my mindset, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
This all started when you threw Amber into elimination, you know, like this is where this whole thing built up from. And mm-hmm. like, walk us through your rationale for doing that. And then also, do you regret it now, seeing how it transpired?
So the only thing I regret about the Amber decision is maybe I didn't see it through another angle, and that angle is because I didn't trust Amber B because I didn't have a relationship with her in the house. Me and her never spoke. It was awkward. Obviously, the shit went down with us on Double Agents, and then I had heard on a podcast, I don't know if it was a podcast she did with you or whatever, that she got asked if she was going to work with Big Brother moving forward, and yeah. she was just laughing, and I think, was it with y'all?
I think it was with us, yeah.
And then Anissa was like, you should see her face right now. So I was like, when I saw that, I was like, okay, obviously, I didn't get insulted by it, but I was like, noted,
right.
moving into the season, noted.
Yeah. yeah.
And then she was an alternate. So at first, I was like, everything was running smooth in the game, and then she came in, and we had already built our alliances and, you know, kind of clicked up. And then so Josh was excited she was there, and he was partners with her, so I was like, all right, this is kind of weird. So if watching back on the confessional, she was really rocking with Big Brother, it was a stupid decision by me if she was really going to ride it out and be loyal to Big Brother,
right.
because that's how she was talking in the confessional. So it makes it seem like, damn, maybe she did think that. But what I saw was me chilling around the house and her laughing, having a good time with Devin, CT, Kyle, Corey, Jeremiah,
yeah.
Josh, and not talking to me at all. I'm not saying that's her fault. Obviously it goes both ways. I could go talk to her. I was like, I'd rather take this shot and it get messy now than in two fucking challenges, she wins and throws me in. And now I'm like, damn, I left her in the game when, because all the other girls I was cool with, that was the problem. It was like, if I don't say Amber, who am I going to say? Some rookie?
Yeah.
I understand that, but I was really close with the rookies at this point. I was like, I don't see any of these rookie women like voting me in right now. I feel like they would definitely say another name before me because I had built strong relationships with these rookies.
Right.
And that's something you don't see on the episodes because, you know, there's 30-something people and there's daily challenges, eliminations. So you can't see all these relationships
yeah.
Blossom and stuff. So that went into my decision.
Yeah, there's so much that goes into every single decision. I mean, there's not enough airtime to talk about every single thing. There's not. And so it sucks when, you know, you have to defend yourself all the time, but it just is what it is. So obviously you were really close with the rookies and you had a great rookie partner. You had Esther as your partner and she had your back throughout the entire Big Brother implosion. So, like, how do you feel about Esther, and, like, what was it like having her as a partner?
Esther was amazing. I remember I was a little nervous when she first picked me, because when she came to unlock me, she wasn't saying anything. She wasn't introducing herself. She was just unlocking me. So I was, like, kind of nervous at first, but then after we finished the challenge and we did pretty decent, I think, obviously, Anissa and Logan won that.
Yeah,
you came in.
Yeah, we did.
Third, right? Or fourth or something.
Yeah, third.
So, but Esther and I finished like sixth, so it was like, you know, pretty good. So I was like, all right, that's fine. You know, we did good as a partnership. But I kind of liked how she was just ready to get to work. And I think the biggest difference between this season having a partner and like last season was I was coming from a rookie season and coming into the season with partners who've done it, you know, way more than me. So I was still in the mentality of trying to prove myself. Mm-hmm. So I think that's why, you know, I kind of was that way on Double Agents, because I was just hell bent on that. Whereas this season, when Esther picked me, it was kind of like she already saw, she was the new partner coming in and saw what I could do. So she told me straight up. She was like, hey, after she picked me, she was like, hey, I'm a little nervous, because obviously before we were picking, everybody was going over the names and said, you know, you're a little hard to work with. And I said, listen, Esther, just give me one challenge, you know, to prove to you why you made a good decision. Because I was willing to get to work, and I'm just glad she gave me a chance. That's all I'm saying.
Because she was a great partner for you. Like, when we had a hang upside down and she just memorized every damn thing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
yeah.
She was willing to do whatever.
She's very smart, very composed.
Yeah.
And she's like, knows the task at hand. That's the one thing. She like that grit and that drive.
Yeah.
You know, she was like that new rookie coming ready to prove it to herself, her family, her country. And she was just really driven, you know, and that's one thing. A lot of people come on the show and they're driven, you know, but some people, you know, they love the challenges, whatever, but some people are like, all right, let's go make another TV show.
Yeah, TV show.
Fuck around.
Yeah.
Esther was there to win $1 million. And you know, that was our goal. So it was nice and refreshing to like have her in the game want it as bad as I do. And I know everybody who leaves everything at home to come into the game obviously wants it really bad, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Obviously. But I really saw that on Esther's face, and that drove me to you know, just push harder.
Yeah. Yeah, she was fucking awesome, dude. And she almost won that hall brawl. Like, the second round.
I saw, yeah.
She almost hit that. So, if she would have hit it, she would have beat Emmy that round for sure. And I think she's a monster.
I was very, very surprised about when I saw that elimination. Because, obviously, TJ made me go home before that elimination. So, this is my first time seeing it. Mm-hmm. But Emmy's... Dude, Emmy's like 5'10". Like,
yeah.
She's a one athlete. She's an athlete, you know. And Esther's probably 5'3", and she's got a lot of fight in her. But Emmy's definitely got the size on her. So I was like, I thought, you know, Emmy was gonna just truck her, but Esther would just had her wrapped up, and it was a fight. I was
Esther
really
was like
of
an
Esther.
Octopus in there.
Yeah,
and that just shows you her grit and her drive, because you know, obviously Emmy was just standing up, walking her down, but Esther was holding on to her for a minute, it looked like, you know? Like,
yeah. And even to think about, like, how she said she hadn't done any contact sports before. And she went in there and she fucking, she was not afraid. You know, we've seen plenty of people.
Not afraid at all.
We've seen plenty of people going, and maybe she was, but she handled it well. I mean, we've seen a lot of people go into hall brawls and it not look like that. And they had done contact.
I hate you for it not look like, it didn't look like that.
Didn't look like that.
Well, she also said in her, In her interview, she was like, you just learn to adapt. Like, that's what I was taught. Like, you get something that you're not used to, and then you have to adapt to it, which I think is an incredible skill to have, especially on the challenge. Because day to day, you have to adapt.
Yeah.
Adapt to your friends being assholes. Adapt to somebody stealing your toothpaste, toothbrush. Oh, my God, my bathroom overflowed again.
I think that is one of, I tell people that all the time is, one of the biggest things playing the game of the challenge is you have to know how to adapt and how to react fast, because you can try to control the game and have your whole gameplay mapped out, but the reality is TJ's going to throw a twist in. Somebody that you didn't expect to win is going to happen. Somebody's going to go home because of injury, and it's going to be a single female's elimination. So you just got to be a quick thinker on your toes and just be ready for anything on this show.
Mm-hmm. So now that you've gone home, which is super unfortunate, I got to know who you're rooting for and who you want to go home. And you can say me, Fess, because I just fucking deserve this shit.
No, honestly, like, even though whatever happened with me and you, like, I know you had the, me and you had talked about, you had the 37 on your arm and stuff, and I, you know what I mean? Like, I told you, I was like, damn, like, well, let's see what it's about. You know, this is your season.
Yeah.
And then obviously I wanted to see Josh and Casey go far, just because of how much hell we went through this season, you know, as an alliance and how much shit we went through. I was like, it would be nice to see them at least cap this messy season off with at least a win.
What about your girlfriend? Didn't you want her to win?
Amanda?
Ooh, is she your girlfriend?
No, we're just seeing what happens.
Oh.
In Mexico.
And that's what we're calling it. See what happens.
You know, it's funny. Somebody was like, literally everybody was like, Wes messaged me. Devin says something at dinner. He's like, hey, don't be knocking on our door when this shit gets messy and blows up, blah, blah, blah. And like, I'm like, I'm to the point where it's like, we sign up for these TV shows. We seen how messy my season was on Double Agent. This, like, everything's already messy as hell on when it comes to the challenge. So like, if me and Amanda are vibing out, like enjoying each other's company, like, let's just see what happens, you know? Like, if it doesn't work, it doesn't work, but...
I respect it, dude. I really do. It's so hard to keep yourself... We get judged for every little thing we do, and people love to tear shit apart. So I have a bunch of respect for how you're handling that.
I mean, I was just asking him if he was rooting for his girlfriend, too. That's what I was asking.
Well, honestly, I'll tell you this, and you guys might be able to contest this, is... When you get judged so much, whether it's from TV or whatever, and it makes it so much easier to do what you want, because it's like, they're going to talk and say the shit no matter what.
Yeah.
So it doesn't even matter. It makes my job even easier of doing what I want, because it's like, even if I were to try to please them or the fans or the world, they're going to have something to say, so why not please myself and do whatever the hell I want?
It's inspiring, dude. It really is. Like, there's a sense of freedom that comes when people don't fucking like you, because then you don't owe them shit. You're just like, all right, but I'm going to do me. Mm-hmm. I've had that experience literally for the past couple seasons on the show, you know, because so much of my life has changed publicly. So, I mean, it is crazy. It's pretty freeing.
That's what happens when you grow up on this thing.
Yeah, and it's painful, kind of, for sure.
You guys are in your 20s.
Yeah, but it's definitely free.
Yeah.
If you don't develop a thick skin by now, the challenge is not for you.
Yeah. So we just have one last question for you, Fess. Actually, we have two.
How much do you love us?
No.
Okay, that wasn't it.
So you talk a lot about Ramadan and how you were fasting. Would you just like highlight that a little bit and talk about what it was like to do that during like a competition show?
Yeah, I mean, it's always tough, just because obviously you can't eat or drink water from sunup to sundown for 30 days straight. So people are like, wait, you can't eat for 30 days? I'm like, no, I could eat when the sun goes down, but all throughout the day as the sun's up, no drinking water, no consuming any, you know, anything. So it's tough, because in that game we're obviously competing physically, but there is a lot of downtime, there is a lot of whatever, and we kind of use food as our comfort tool, you know, like, oh, we're bored, let's eat.
I know he was hungry.
Walking around.
I know he was so upset.
Watching you guys
eat. Did you just
eat.
Really make a pizza?
So I finally get to eat. Like, Ramadan was over. I put my pizza in. Can't wait to eat it. And then Foley says to Amber that I ate her pizza. I'm like, dude, I'm just trying to enjoy my first meal of the day, man.
Oh, my God. I'm so sorry. I watched this back. I feel so bad. I'm never going to do that again. Like, I feel so bad.
People tell me that, like, dude, you should be mad at Tori. And I think when you saw me in New York, you were like, because it was right after the episode, you were like, kind of like being awkward, because you're like, is he going to be pissed at me? I'm like, dude, I've seen it all. Like, I watched Double Agents back and had to watch all y'all's confessionals about me. So I was like, dude, we could get through that. We could get through anything.
Oh, yeah, dude. It's been crazy.
Oh, you're a good. I have a lot of
respect. Yeah, I have a lot of respect for you, for real. Anybody?
I mean, I was just trying to come on my first two seasons and make a name for myself. Y'all have been on there season after season. I mean, I was like,
I think people knew who Fessy was from Big Brother. I mean, your name is original. And people thought you were cute.
Yeah.
Jemmy was like, yo, is that Fessy guy going to be on the show? I'm like, girl, I don't even know who you're talking
Everybody
about.
Everybody thinks I'm cute. Watch out.
All right. All right. Okay. You are cute.
Okay. No,
thank you.
We've learned to love you, Fessy. I'm so excited.
Yeah.
To see what comes from all of this.
Me too.
Not this fight.
I mean, I'm just,
like,
I'm excited to be a part of this family now. You know, I came in my rookie season. Like, I keep saying this, but you guys know, like, they bring in fresh set of rookies and none of them stick because they're not it. You know, they look the part and they can't compete or they don't, they just, yeah. Whatever. And I was
so you're
like,
trying to say that you're it.
I'm it. That's all I'm trying to say is look at me. Okay. Just hey. Look at what I can do.
Listen,
no, I'm just kidding.
If you don't believe in yourself, no one's going to, for right. real. So we have one last question for you, Fess. The question that we ask everybody. So this season's called Spies, Lies, and Allies. So from this episode, who's the biggest spy? Who's the biggest liar? And who's the biggest ally?
Shit.
Spy is like the someone to watch out for, which would probably be Tori.
Listen, I know what the word spy means, Anita.
I know, but it could have been something
else. And I'm
going
to have to say spy is going to have to be a tie between, obviously, Tori and Corey because they fucking
yeah.
plotted that shit. And, you know what I mean? They ran and got Josh.
Yeah, that was
so funny. Whatever. Ally, I would say definitely Esther because Esther had my back.
Oh,
100%.
Yeah.
And, like, we saw, I'm not going to say you, Josh. Ally, I mean, you just got in a fight.
Hello, Josh.
So, Josh is there.
You can't hear you.
I know, I forgot
AirPods.
You had AirPods
said,
in.
They said, what's up? But definitely Esther because, you know, all throughout that argument, whatever, that night, I was walking, sitting on the couch. Amber was trying to come up to me. Esther was like, no, don't talk to him. You know, she was trying to, I mean, she did throw the drink, but she was trying to be like, don't talk to my partner. She had my back. So it was refreshing to have somebody ride for me like that.
Uh-huh.
And what was the other one? Lie. Mm. Ooh. Oh, for sure, Tori. She told Amber I ate her pizza. That was a bold-faced lie.
Fuck. I'll take it. Honestly, I'll take it. I deserve this. I deserve it. I really do. Listen, Fess, we love you. I'm so sorry about what happened this season, and I owe you one. I owe you a big one. I'm going to send you a pizza in the mail for sure.
Right. Oh, there's Josh. What's he doing in the window? Oh, still wearing a hat that you probably had before he had it. The one thing I will say is that he is like a big brother. Fessy is definitely like that because Josh has bought every single thing that Fessy has.
Oh, my God.
He said, did Esther bring you coffee this morning?
He got
mad because I called Esther the biggest ally on the episode.
Well, on the episode, yes.
They're talking about the episode, if we had to say on the episode.
Yeah. Oh, God, Josh. We love you.
Fess,
we're about to get into it right now.
Fess, where can the people follow you and how can they support you?
Fessy Fitness, anything, Instagram, Twitter. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and then do you want them to subscribe?
What happened to
that
OnlyFans?
My OnlyFans? Listen, everybody knows about OnlyFans. If you don't, I mean, y'all both know the hype is real. Y'all out of both people, I don't got to tell shit to y'all two people.
I thought you meant the hype about OnlyFans, not about you. I was agreeing
to saying,
that.
Like,
oh.
People know.
Yeah.
It doesn't got to be said. What do they say? What's understood doesn't have to be said or something like that?
Something like that.
I don't know.
Sounds like a little bit.
sounds real.
Cool. Well, Fess, thank you so much for coming on the show. We love you, dude. And yeah, we hope to see you soon.
We support you. And we're going to send you pizza. We'll just bring it to Orlando.
Yeah.
All right, y'all.
All right. Love you. Have a good day.
Later.
It was so refreshing talking to Fessy, finding out his perspective, where him and Josh are now. I mean,
yeah,
our friend has grown in front of our eyes. And he's grown up, and I'm really proud and happy that they're still friends and happy that they could work through it.
Yeah, I agree. That it's tough, dude. I think he's handling it all so well. And I respect anybody who takes responsibility for any of their actions because, mm-hmm. you know, he could have been mad at a lot of people for that, for sure, yeah. especially me and Corey. And he's just kind of chalking it up as like, you know what, shit happens. Like, it was supposed to be a joke. So I have a lot of respect for the way he's handling this, and like, it makes me appreciate him a lot.
Well, also, we have a challenge confidential that may, I don't know, shift your perspective a little bit.
Yes. And listen, I think I'm about 95% sure about this, but in the 5%
so this
that
is
I'm wrong,
a 95%.
But I could be wrong again.
Accurate.
And if I'm wrong again about who ate the pizza, then it's just bad. But I'm pretty sure that the person who actually ate the pizza was Priscilla. I'm pretty sure.
Well, I'm going to DM Priscilla and ask her about it.
Ask her. Because I think it was her. Oh, my gosh. It was.
And then I'll come
the
back
rookies.
Next week and I'll let you know, or I'll just text you today when you're feeling better.
Yeah, it'll let me know. Priscilla's hilarious. And
I think she's great.
Such a great competitor. I can't wait for everyone to see kind of like what she does coming up soon because, no spoilers, but she's amazing.
And she's also an amazing narrator. So,
yeah.
Thank you for being beautiful, Priscilla. I think I say it every episode now. I can't help it. She's stunning.
Yeah, she is.
Yeah.
She is. Anissa, where can we follow you and send
stop trying
you...
to send me shit.
No, okay.
Do you know how many cashews? I got so many nuts and so many pickles in my DMs.
I got a lot of dictionaries, okay?
Did you really?
Yeah.
Oh, they're listening. I love it. It's just thank you guys all for sending me those things.
Yeah.
They can find me and send me what, Tori? Go ahead.
Find Anissa and send her pictures of pizza. Yay.
Yeah, it's Anissa MTV. You know the drill. AnneesaMTV on Instagram. There's no reason to look for me anywhere else because I'll be on the gram.
Yeah.
Tori, where can they find you and send you Pedialyte?
Yes. Oh, my God. Send it.
And a new stomach.
I almost said my address by accident. Whoa, that would have been bad. At Tori_Deal, if you can somehow figure out my address, please drop off some Pedialyte. I really need it. Guys, thank you so much for listening to the podcast. It means the world to us. And also, thank you for watching. Don't forget to send us your listener questions and make sure you watch new episodes of the challenge, Spies, Lies, and Allies, every Wednesday.
And then go behind the scenes with us the next morning on MTV's official challenge podcast.